This podcast is Challenging Opinions and is presented by William Campbell.
I'm back. Thank you for downloading the Challenging Opinions podcast for December 3rd, 2018. I've talked to a lot of people on the political right this year, so let's hear what the dyed-in-the-wool progressives have to say about the November election, what they have to say about their enemies and their opposition, and how to go forward.
Challenging Opinions is the podcast where ideas are tested. Whether you are left or right, conservative or progressive, devout or skeptic, what matters is the strength of your argument, not the strength of your voice.
Coming up on today's podcast.
Well, there's people like Nancy Pelosi. So she has taken so much money from the healthcare lobby. So she's going to flat out kill Medicare for all when given the opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. You're explaining how you're losing. You're not explaining why you're losing.
I know I am, because they're not coming up with any platforms that resonate with people. They're only doing things that resonate with their corporate donors. That's why they're losing.
And that's coming up in full just after this.
If you like the Challenging Opinions podcast, please rate and review the show on iTunes and other podcast providers. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Tell your friends. But most important, make your view heard. Email podcast@challengingopinions.com.
So here's a bit of what I said at the top of the podcast a little over a year ago.
There's something happening that you might not have noticed in the news. What's happening is MBS. If you don't know what MBS is, then listen up. First, a little history. Saudi Arabia, as we know it, came into being in the 1930s.
And that's
if his own disgruntled cousins don't bump him off first, which is distinctly likely. Either way, this guy is going into the history books. Remember his name, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah, so I guess that MBS is getting a bit more name recognition now than he was a year or so ago. There are a couple of things to remember about Saudi Arabia. It's not a country in the normal sense. It's the only place on earth without a constitution or basic law of any type. The will of the prince literally is law. Its name, ludicrously, is that of the Al Saud ruling family. It is literally a personal fiefdom. And they make extensive use of capital punishment, beheading people whenever the mood strikes them, and they're not too picky about due process. So it's not too much of a stretch to think that a troublesome journalist, who would be dispatched without a second thought while in the country, would be a target while outside the country. So, yes, I think that Mohammed bin Salman will be much more of an influence on Saudi Arabia than his recent predecessors. Exactly how that'll work out, I really don't know, but he was high-fiving and bear-hugging Vladimir Putin at the G20 summit in Buenos Aires last week, so I'm not holding my breath for liberal democracy anytime soon. And speaking of democracy, back in July, I talked about an electoral system that the state of Maine confirmed by popular ballot, and I gave a brief explanation of how it would work in a piece that I recorded outdoors on holidays.
To give you the simple explanation, it means that to vote for a candidate, you put the number 1 beside his or her name. It's that simple. Also, you have the choice. You don't have to, but you can put the number 2 beside the name of your second favourite candidate and 3 beside your third favourite and so on, all the way down. But now, here comes the complex part. I'll try to make it as simple as possible. Basically, to win, a candidate needs to get more than half the votes. That's pretty simple if there's only 2 candidates, but if you have several, like in a typical competitive primary, what happens if no candidate gets 50%? That's when the number 2, the second favourite, comes in. The counters go to the candidate who came last. Clearly, that's not somebody who's going to win. So the counters eliminate that last candidate and move their votes to the other candidates according to who the voters for that candidate gave their second preference, their number two vote, to. If, then, nobody still has 50%, you keep eliminating the lowest remaining candidate and redistributing their votes until the top candidate does get over 50%. Normally, it's the candidate who got the most votes in the first round who wins after all of this.
So this system was tested in the elections in November, particularly in Maine's second district. Maine has two House members. The race was very close. Bruce Poliquin, the incumbent Republican member, in the first round polled very slightly more than Jared Golden, the Democratic challenger. As I said, it was very close. There was less than 1% of a margin between them. Both of them got around 46% of the vote. The rest of the votes went to two minor independents. Because nobody got more than 50% of the vote, those two minor candidates were eliminated, and counters went to look at the votes of those minor candidates. There were about 23,000 of them, and of those 23,000 voters, over 10,000 had given their second preference vote to Golden, and less than 5,000 to Poliquin. This put Golden about 1 percentage point ahead of Poliquin on the final count with about 50.5% of the vote. The bottom line is that more voters preferred Golden, and so he won. Poliquin made threats of court action against the count, saying that only first preference votes should be counted, but that doesn't seem to be happening, which isn't so surprising. I'm not really sure how he'd like to explain to a judge how the electoral system should be changed after the votes have been cast, and the votes should be counted in a different way to the one that the voters expected. But in all the other main races, and almost always with ranked choice voting, the candidate who wins the first count goes on to win the election, even if they have to wait for the lower preference votes of minor candidates to be distributed. The point of the system isn't to change who gets elected, it's to change how they get elected. It requires the winning candidate to get at least 50% of the vote, so riling up a small base with negative campaigning is less successful. As Jared Golden, Congressman-elect Jared Golden, discovered, it's important to appeal beyond your base, and that's something important these days.
Do you agree? Do you disagree? If you want your point of view heard, email podcast@challengingopinions.com and say what you think.
On the line now, I have Graham Elwood. He's a comedian and he's running what's called the Progressive Comedy Tour. You can get all information about him and follow him on YouTube, all from grahamelwood.com. Graham, you kind of give the game away when you go on the Progressive Comedy Tour. You're on the you're on the left of the political spectrum, yeah?
Very left, you know, and like many of us on the progressive left, you know, we're anti-war, we want you know, Medicare for all in America. Mm-hmm. We want a livable wage for people. You know, we want free college tuition, all the things that the wealthiest country in the history of the human race can absolutely afford if it wanted to.
That's entirely understandable and laudable. But isn't it true that you've had 2 years of Trump with people who are creating entire websites to track how many lies he tells? I need a website to track how many of his associates have been either indicted or actually convicted.
Right.
Given all of that and looking at the results of the midterms, it looks like coming out of that, that the Democrats, who perhaps could be called the left, they're certainly more left than the Republicans, they're at plus 40 in the House, and they were actually losing seats in the Senate. It's not really an impressive showing, is it?
No, not at all. And that's the problem, is the Democrats are barely left of the Republican Party. I mean, mm-hmm. as I talk to people, friends of mine in European countries, in Australia, you know, they say that the Democratic Party is further right than the right-wing parties in all of these other Western countries. I mean, it's the Democratic Party. There's not much difference between the two parties. I mean, the Republican Party has gotten completely out of control, but the Democratic Party they take money from big pharmaceutical companies and the healthcare industry and the oil lobby, and they're for war. And that's the thing. If the Democrats actually were the party that FDR had, which was a populist party for workers, and they went, they wouldn't lose. You know, 80% of America wants Medicare for all. These are not conservative or liberal issues. These are working class people issues. And the Democrats refuse to do it, though.
But this is what I think. This is what I think when I talk to, you know, American progressives. They say all of these proposals that sound like they should get a huge popular support, but they don't. Why?
Because they, like, well, there's people like Nancy Pelosi. So she has taken so much money from the healthcare lobby. Mm-hmm. So she's going to flat out kill Medicare for all when given the opportunity. I mean, we got Obamacare, and that was when Obama was in the White House.
Sure, yeah, you're explaining how you're losing. You're not explaining why you're losing.
I know I am, because they're not coming up with any platforms that resonate with people. They're only doing things that resonate with their corporate donors. That's mm-hmm. why they're losing, because if they were actually getting behind these platforms and things that everybody wants, student loan debt forgiveness, free college tuition, $15 an hour minimum wage, Medicare for all, mm-hmm. they wouldn't lose an election. They wouldn't lose. But instead, they do stuff like Elizabeth Warren and four other Democrats signed in October of 2017 to give Trump $80 billion more dollars that he didn't ask for the war machine in a country that spans more than the next seven countries combined. So, and then they tell you, oh, we can't, how are we going to afford this? How are we going, they always say, how are we going to afford Medicare for all? How are we going to afford student loan debt forgiveness? How are we going to do that? Well, stop spending $1 trillion a year on the war machine. They won't do it, though. The Democrats won't do it. They keep doing this incremental centrism. That's why they lose. Because here's the thing that happened that came out of the midterms.
Okay, you're referring to the Democrats. You're referring to the Democrats in the third person, and I can understand that from a progressive point of view. But that's why the Democrats lose. I'm not asking why the Democrats lose. I'm asking why the progressives lose.
Ah, well, that's a great question. The progressives lose because when they try, two things happen. The Democratic Party would rather lose to the Republicans than let progressives take it over, because if progressives take over the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party loses all of its corporate donations. So what happens, progressives get either smeared or bought, or they acquiesce. Democrats mm-hmm. or the progressives don't fight hard. The way the Tea Party, there's a lot about the Tea Party. I don't like many of their tactics. I don't agree with most of their stances, but their resolve is something the progressives should do. The Tea Party says, if you don't give these platforms and these politicians, we're going to walk. We're going to pull all of our people. Mm-hmm. Progressives, look what happened. The Progressive Caucus just decided to endorse Nancy Pelosi. Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi is everything that's wrong with the Democratic Party, right? So there's one of the reasons why progressives lose. They fight. You have people like Ocasio-Cortez, mm-hmm. who says she's going to fight for everybody, and I love that she won, and she unseated a corporate Democrat. And then, oh, there's nobody to the left of Pelosi to run for Speaker of the House, so we'll just support her. That's why progressives lose. They just buckle. They don't fight hard enough. And what always happens, and this is what the Democrats' stock and trade has been, is, well, we're better than the Republicans are evil. Look how evil they are. So we just have to resist them. And they don't ever come up with a real plan. Bernie Sanders, who's an independent, he's not a member of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. just revealed a 10-point plan on how to fix America. And it's a plan that will help all Americans. And the Democratic Party won't adopt this platform. So what they do, they smear progressives, they push them aside, mm-hmm. or they give them little table scraps, and then the progressives are dumb enough to go, okay, well, you know, it's a step in the right direction. And maybe in when? 2024, 2028, 2032, after it's too late to reverse climate change, is that when we're going to get a progressive in the White House? That's the problem. That's why progressives lose.
Okay, and what's the path to victory?
The path to victory is I don't know that there's one singular path, in the sense that you know, I talk with people like Kyle Kalinske. I don't talk with him, but I saw him talk with Jimmy Dore.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big proponent of Justice Democrats, and he believes about overhauling the, changing the Democratic Party from within.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is progressives need to not back down. And they say, oh, stop with your purity tests. I'm sorry. I'm not voting for anyone that is not in favor of these basic things. I'm just not going to vote for them. Because if you look, one of the things that came out of the midterms, a bunch of progressive ballot measures won by huge margins in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like the nonviolent ex-convicts got the right to vote in Florida by 60-some% of the vote. That's a huge deal. Medical mm-hmm. marijuana passed in Utah by 53%.
Yeah, Michael Moore was talking about this. He was saying that in the 2004 presidential election, I don't think he mentioned it, but I think it was Karl Rove masterminded it, to put gay marriage on the ballot in as many swing states as possible in order to draw out evangelicals to make them vote. And while they came out to vote, they would vote for Bush as president, even though they weren't terribly enthusiastic about him. And that tactic seemed to work. And they even did it in states where gay marriage was already explicitly illegal. They put on ballot measures to make it even more illegal.
Right.
And he was suggesting that progressives, and I guess you'd count him as a progressive, should do the same thing and should put things like legalizing marijuana on the ballot anywhere they can in order to draw out young people who will then, presuming they're not too stoned to show up and vote, will vote for whoever is not Donald Trump on the presidential election. Do you think that that's the sort of tactic that needs to be done?
I agree with half of that. I agree with putting progressive ballot measures for sure, because people want those things. If you put Medicare for all on a ballot measure, people mm-hmm. are going to vote for it. You're absolutely, people are going to vote for it. If you vote for, put free college tuition, people are going to vote for it. But then put a actual progressive candidate on to run in especially for the White House. The Democratic Party, look at how they cheated Bernie Sanders because he was a progressive. They cheated him. They screwed him over.
The superdelegates.
No, that's incorrect.
And he would have lost even disregarding the superdelegates.
Oh, that's, I don't believe that at all.
It's not open to opinion. You can count the votes.
Look what they did. They did voter suppression. They screwed over the independents, weren't allowed to vote. There was 26 million independents that weren't allowed to vote in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, they fought hard.
They wouldn't allow them to vote.
In the end, so he lost.
Right, but he lost.
The polls were showing he would beat Trump much more easily than Clinton.
Of course. That's what I'm talking about. So the corporate Democratic machine that runs the Democratic Party cheated him out of it. The Podesta emails are the Podesta emails. You saw that there was cheating in the party. Donna Brazile was fired from CNN for giving answers to Hillary ahead of a debate.
Mm-hmm.
The scales were tipped in her favor. He didn't lose fair and square. He was cheated. There's no way Clinton supporters, if Bernie would have won the nomination the way Hillary did, Hillary supporters would have taken to the streets. There's no way they would have let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what the Democratic Party does. They push aside a guy who would have beaten Trump. I mean, he did a town hall in West Virginia a couple weeks after the election. And all of these red state coal miner people who voted for Trump were like, wow, this guy actually wants to help us. He absolutely would have won.
Okay. So I take that point. And that's probably true. Although I don't hear an answer in there to my question of what's the path to victory. But you mentioned...
You did. I just told you. They need to get behind progressive candidates that have a progressive platform.
Sure, yeah.
Ballot measures win. So then if you have politicians that support those types of laws, they will win too. The Democrats don't do that. They go for centrists and corporate people and people that are in favor of banking and wars like Hillary Clinton. and Tim
Kaine.
Okay,
and you brought up Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this new congresswoman, very young and very clickbait, and Fox News loves running stories about her, and they will also be countered by all the other progressive news sources that love running stories about her, and on Fox News they'll get some, you know, still video shot, which is from the worst possible angle with, like, her mouth open and one eye closed or whatever, and that's very clickbaity, and on the other side they will have, you know, photos of her with her hair down and looking very good. The bottom line is the attention she's getting is more or less entirely because of the way she looks. Isn't that true?
No. She's running on, look at her platform. You know, she's pushing Green New Deal. No one in the mainstream media was talking Green New Deal.
Yeah, that may be good. That may all be good, but she's getting attention because of the way she looks.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, some of it, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, she's running on stances and she's an open socialist. Mm-hmm. And so that's like, whoa, that's why Fox News goes crazy. Is she clickbaity? Yeah, sure. But so's Donald Trump, and he's uglier than a bag of dead squirrels. So she unseated a corporate Democrat.
Yeah, I'm not denying the way that she did well, and that she did well for a reason. But although you seem to think that she fails your purity test.
No, she doesn't fail my purity. Well, she did when she backs Pelosi. What I'm going to do,
What was her other option?
Her other option was to find someone to go against Pelosi. And when they couldn't, that's what I'm talking about. Then the progressives go, oh, all right, well, I guess we'll back Nancy Pelosi, who's battle tested. And I'm like, by battle tested, you mean what? Sell us out to her corporate benefactors?
Realistically, could they have successfully brought in another candidate?
Yes. And they, at the very least, they shouldn't have supported Pelosi. They should have said, no, I don't support her then. We're not going to get behind her. But they were all promised committee appointments. So they said, yes, that's my problem. The Tea Party would never do that if the Republican Party didn't listen to them.
Leaving aside that particular issue, it strikes me, listening to any interview that she's in, and even when Fox News tries to scare the grannies who are watching it, they are putting up bullet points that are supposed to be scare stories of what Ocasio-Cortez supports. It's kind of hard to scare people by telling them people would get free healthcare and free education. So it can be a little bit strange to see that on Fox News. But it's true, isn't it, that if the Democrats ran candidates like her right across Trump country, they'd win by a mile.
Yeah, they would. Because that's the thing. And when Fox News put that graphic up there of Ocasio-Cortez and those other women mm-hmm. who are all supporting all these great things, Ocasio-Cortez retweeted the screen grab and said, wow, look at us trying to help make people's lives better. And that's the thing. If the you're absolutely correct, William. If the Democratic Party were to get candidates like her, socialist, far left, just want to help everybody platforms, they wouldn't lose. 60% of Americans don't have $1,000 in savings. You know, I mean, 51% of this country doesn't make more than $30,000 a year. This people are hurting. And then the corporate media goes, oh, the economy's great. Well, the economy's great if you're a millionaire. It's great mm-hmm. for you, but it's not great for the majority of the country. And if they ran these candidates who just flat out came and said, we're going to make your lives better for these, this is how we're going to do it. A Green New Deal puts everybody to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, free Medicare, free college tuition. Now you have hope. That reduces the crime rate. It reduces the opioid epidemic that we have. It does all of these things and saves the planet. And who can lose to that?
What do you think are the odds of a whole slew of what you might call corporate Democrats being primaried in 2 years' time?
You know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, not really many of them were primaried in 2018, and some of the Democrats are what the World Socialist website called CIA Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, because if the Democratic Party keeps running on this, we're not Trump. They need more than that. Just we're not Trump isn't enough. So mm-hmm. it'll be really interesting to see what happens. My guess is they're going to push for some neoliberal corporate Democrat like Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden or somebody like that to be president.
You would regard Elizabeth Warren as a corporate Democrat?
Yeah, as I said,
she was excoriating of Hillary Clinton in terms of being of bending to corporate interests.
Yeah, but then she still backed her in the end. And she, as I said, she voted to give Trump $80 billion in extra military money a year ago that he didn't ask for. She also, this is the deception of folks like her. Mm-hmm. So when the head of the Wells Fargo Bank was brought before that Senate committee, and there's this video of her, you know, reading that guy the Riot Act, and she was like, "How dare you, sir?" And oh man, it was like, and that got retweeted. Yeah, you go get him, Elizabeth. That guy didn't go to jail. He walked out of there with a $124 million severance plan. Wow. Man, would I love to get yelled at by the Senate for $124 million. She didn't prosecute.
I'm thinking of the prize fighter, Conor McGregor, who lost a fight but was paid $23 million to lose the fight.
Yeah.
He was paid $23 million to fight the fight, despite the fact that he lost. One friend of mine who, let's say, is not terribly physically active said, yeah, I'd stand in there and get beaten up by that guy for $23 million. I'd take the beating. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but isn't there a danger that at some point you get, when you're criticizing, for example, somebody like Elizabeth Warren, that the purity tests get to be so extreme, your list of allies basically reduces to one, yourself?
Well, it's not just me. There's many more progressives. And that thinking that you're just talking about, that's mm-hmm. why we have Trump. Don't have purity tests, play ball, acquiesce, go to the center. And, you know, FDR, when he was running for his third term in 1940, wrote a letter to the Democratic Party ahead of the convention and said, don't go to the right. We win. And the Democrats just, he was running for his third term. He was the most popular president ever. They had to change the rules so presidents had term limits because he kept winning. Mm-hmm. And he said, don't go to the right. And the Democratic Party has been slowly going right ever since. And now the further the Republican parties go right, the Democratic Party always follows them, when what they should be doing is going harder left. So what we need is maybe a third party. Like, I'm a big proponent of the Movement for a People's Party. Mm-hmm. And because I don't see, you know, the Democratic Party doing anything other than just playing corporate ball and screwing us all over. Because you know what, William? I heard for eight years, anybody but Bush. I heard that from the left. And what happened? We got Obama, who deported 2 million people. He took us from two wars to seven. He helped create 5.2 million foreclosures. He didn't prosecute any banks at all. Mm-hmm. He didn't do any legislation other than Dodd-Frank, which is a Band-Aid on a shotgun wound. He didn't. Mm-mm. So I'm done playing the lesser of two evils card, because that's why we have Trump. If you don't look at the system that allowed a guy like Trump to happen, then you're doomed. It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result.
One question I have for you, and I think your analysis is absolutely correct in that people who voted Trump are hurting economically. And if you appeal to them with relatively moderate social democratic policies like free education, like free healthcare, that could win a whole chunk of votes. But there's no question that another reason that Trump won was because he dog whistled to racism. What's your answer to that?
He absolutely did. And that's what happens when... like,
and that won him votes.
Yeah, of course. Of course it did. America has a long history of racism. It has a lot of entrenched racism. And racism, by and large, is the result of capitalism. You know, capitalism creates racism. There was a Black Panther by the name of Fred Hampton, and he was the head of the Black Panther Party in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he reached out. There was a part of Chicago where Southern whites came up, and it was a neighborhood that was nicknamed Hillbilly Harlem, right? Because it was all Southern whites who had Confederate flags, racist Klan members, and Fred Hampton, a Black man, head of the Black Panther Party, reached out to them and formed the first ever, he was called the Rainbow Coalition. Mm-hmm. And what he got them was saying, look, capitalism is screwing us over. Capitalism is keeping us divided as you know, white and Black. And they got together. And many of these white Southern racists got rid of their Confederate flags. Not all of them realized their points of view were skewed and off, and he brought them together. And you know what happened as a result of that? The FBI killed Fred Hampton. So I don't, while I'm not, I don't condone people who are racist or in the Klan. I don't condone that. I understand it though, because Obama said hope and change, and he helped create even more. He helped create even more foreclosures. So, and I don't like Trump's, he ran on a populist platform. I don't like his racist. I was scary to me that there were people doing Nazi salutes, but that's what happens. If you read Chris Hedges' Death of the Liberal Class, when liberal institutions fail as they have, mm-hmm. then people run to a demagogue. That's why I'm so, that's why I will this like play this centrist thing. No, go hard left, go for workers, go for the people. Bernie Sanders and Trump both ran populist platforms, right? Mm-hmm. Trump ran more of a xenophobic, racist one. Bernie ran on a you know, united one. Mm-hmm. And they were the two most popular people. They blew up both of their parties. Now, the Republican Party doesn't have superdelegates, so they couldn't block Trump, because the Republican Party didn't want Trump in there. They didn't want him in there.
One last question then. What's your vision of how things go forward up to 2020? Your most optimistic vision?
My most optimistic vision is the Democratic Congress pushes all of these progressive bills, and some of them pass. The ones that don't, they say, look, that Republican Senate blocked all of these things for you, and more progressives and people like Ocasio-Cortez and these newly elected Congress people fight for more progressive views. My also total positive view, the Democratic Party nominates some corporate Democrat, and a third party forms, or Bernie and a bunch of prominent people like Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard, people like that, they leave the Democratic Party and run as a third party, and then somebody like Bernie Sanders runs as an independent and wins. That's my sort of pie in the sky for 2020.
Okay. Graham Elwood, thank you very much for your pie in the sky.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Never miss a show. You can subscribe to the podcast for free using iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any other podcast software or app. See challengingopinions.com/subscribe for details.
Go to the website for sources and links to what we were talking about. And while you're there, please like the show on Facebook, follow @ChallengingO on Twitter, and follow Graham Elwood. You can follow him on Twitter, you can follow him on Facebook, you can follow him on YouTube, you could even follow him around the country on his political vigilante tour. Get all the links on his website, GrahamElwood.com. And get in touch with me if you can suggest a guest or topic for a future show. Also, you can find out how to subscribe to the podcast for free on your computer, your phone, or by email. It's all at www.challengingopinions.com. And I now have a Patreon account, thanks to the people who've signed up as patrons so far. I really appreciate that. It means I can devote more time to research and finding interesting guests. And if you could do the same and sign up as a patron yourself, you'll find all the details on the website. I'd really appreciate that. Coming up next Monday, that's December 10th, I'll be talking to Bill Warner of the PoliticalIslam.com website. The Challenging Opinions podcast is produced and presented by me, William Campbell. Thank you for listening.